You might want to grab a pen. Here's our book critic, Maureen Carrigan, with her list of the best books of the year.
This year in books started out sluggishly. By summer, I worried that its defining literary trend would turn out to be what I dubbed pink books, a rash of reactionary romances swathed in calamine lotion pink book jackets. Then, with the arrival of fall, crisp winds blew in a rush of smart, superbly written novels and nonfiction. Susan Choi's wonderful novel, American Woman, is set in the mid-1970s and tells the story of a young Japanese-American woman named Jenny, who's been living underground ever since she set off a bomb in protest of the Vietnam War. When Jenny is finally captured by the feds, Choi makes her readers feel a deep sadness, not for the end of Jenny's misguided violence, but rather for the death of the idealism that prompted it. Here's how Choi's narrator puts it better. The loss of Jenny's freedom, of these years of her 20s, ended up being nothing next to the loss of her confidence in the choices she'd made. Brick Lane by Monica Ali is a debut novel that rightly dazzled readers and reviewers and was shortlisted for Great Britain's Booker Prize. The immigrant story it tells is not new. A young bride from Bangladesh finds herself transplanted to a grimy London housing project via an arranged marriage. But Ali's precise language and offbeat humor are so beguiling, even the smallest details register. Take her description of a doctor's walk-in waiting room packed with poor people. An old man with a knobbly nose sat in the corner, sipping mournfully from a can of something. A large family of Africans, the color of wet river stones, with long, beautiful necks and small, sloping eyes, fanned out on the front seats. The grown-ups were silent. Their faces expressed nothing other than the ability to wait. Waiting was their profession. The high-maintenance heroines in Nell Freudenberger's commanding debut short story collection, Lucky Girls, travel in the opposite direction. Departing from the United States and Europe, they backpack their complicated lives all over the near and far east. And two terrific works of fiction that came out early this year don't deserve to be buried under the bounty of fall books. A Ship Made of Paper is the latest tale of passion by Scott Spencer, whose love stories are always out of control, but whose writing never is. Meg Wolitzer's very witty novel, The Wife, should get a nudge from the popularity of that new Julia Roberts movie, Mona Lisa Smile, since it covers some of the same 1950s terrain of women's colleges that offered majors in domesticity. In nonfiction, my nominee for must-read book of the year is David Marinus's They Marched Into Sunlight, an exhaustively researched and poignant work of history that focuses on two crucial events in October 1967. Marinus's narrative alternates between the University of Wisconsin, where the student protest against campus recruitment by Dow Chemical, maker of napalm, unexpectedly turned violent, and a jungle in Vietnam, where a battalion of the 1st Infantry Division marched into an ambush by North Vietnamese troops. Marinus's colleague at the Washington Post, reporter David Vondrele, wrote a sweeping and substantive book on the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire of 1911. In Triangle, Vondrele traces out how, because of that tragedy in which 146 workers, most of them young girls, were killed, the burgeoning women's rights movement, labor movement, and progressive movement all joined forces for a remarkable time in American history, transforming the Democratic Party and clearing the way for the New Deal liberalism of Franklin Roosevelt. Other nonfiction standouts were Kathy Dobie's The Only Girl in the Car, a 1970s coming-of-age memoir that dramatizes the double standards lurking under the sexual revolution, and Laura Kipnis's Against Love, an over-the-top polemic against marriage and monogamy. In 2003, a slew of mystery novels proved to be devious vehicles for both metaphysical inquiry and informed social criticism. Acclaimed Swedish writer Henning Mankell was my find of the year. His series of novels featuring gloomy police detective Kurt Wallander are in the process of being translated into English. The Dogs of Riga is the latest, but One Step Behind is my current favorite. Neil Gordon's tightly crafted suspense novel, The Company You Keep, invokes some of the same Weather Underground history as Susan Choi's American Woman. Blacklist, the latest V.I. Warshawski novel by Sarah Paretsky, delves into the Red Scare of the 1950s and makes connections between McCarthyism and present-day threats to civil liberties in post-9/11 America. And just in time for the holidays, mystery grand dame P.D. James has returned with The Murder Room, another Adam Dalgliesh mystery. Granted, the plot frays towards the end, but James's sense of place and felt awareness of evil are as vivid here as in any of her earlier great mysteries. James is now an octogenarian, but as a stylist, she still runs rings elegantly around most of the pretenders to her throne.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. Her best books of the year list, as well as her holiday gift suggestions, can be found on our website, freshair.com. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Naomi Person, Monique Nazareth, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Patty Leswing, Ian Chillog, and Jessica Chu. Sue Spolin directed the show. I'm Terry Gross.